Mud Podcast presents.
Joined via Zoom with my dear friend and master herbalist, Maria Strauss. Hi, Maria. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Good afternoon, Wild hey. Ginger.
Thank you for your patience. You're awesome. Thanks for always being here.
Not a problem.
So how's your garden growing?
Well, we're at a lot higher elevation than everybody else, so we don't have very much in yet. But what we do have in is growing quite well. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. I put in tomatoes really early this year, and I was like real nervous. They're still there. They don't look super happy, but they'll come back. And I've got some beans popping up already. And the lilacs are going off in my house.
Yeah, ours are just about done.
Yeah? Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. It's so interesting to talk with you because you're up higher elevation, but you're in that banana belt over there on the Klamath. So I feel like it's warm. It's warmer in the summer, colder in the winter. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So today we were going to talk about weeds.
Something everybody in Humboldt loves talking about.
Yes. Oh, but beforehand, what is the first rule of herbalism?
If you're not sure what it is, leave it alone.
Not use it. And just say, we are not doctors. We are herbalists.
Exactly. Exactly.
So can we start with dandelion?
Yeah, let's start with dandelion. That's a good one.
Everybody knows what dandelion is.
Yes.
Those beautiful yellow flowers that are fantastic for pollinators, for butterflies. They are also fantastic for your health. They are loaded with vitamins A, C, K, E, and B, iron, calcium, magnesium, and potassium, and fiber. They are just an absolute powerhouse for use in the springtime. The roots are rich in inulin, which is a prebiotic, and it really helps with diabetes, with balancing blood sugar levels. They have anti-inflammatory benefits, and they reduce cholesterol and triglycerides. They're also a fantastic liver tonic, a diuretic, and they improve the carbohydrate metabolism, and they reduce the fat absorption from when you eat fatty foods. Rosemary does the same thing.
Well, that's really cool.
They're an excellent spring green. We use in salads when they're very small and young and tender. And when they're a little older, you can cook them.
Yeah, I was just talking with my auntie all the way out in Wisconsin, and she said that just yesterday she picked a bunch of dandelion greens, and she heard that once the flower has popped, that they get real bitter and they're not tasty anymore. But she fried them up, and she said they were great. So she said, tell your friends you can still stir fry after the flower pops. So that's good to know.
You can. It also depends on how much water they're getting.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Drier areas, they get bitter quicker.
Oh, that makes sense. Kind of like lettuce going. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Other thing I know about dandelion is that it makes an excellent wine. And I even had a dandelion soda at the trade fair last weekend. So that was fun.
Makes an excellent dandelion honey, too.
What? That's amazing.
You steep just the yellow parts of the flowers in honey and then strain it. And you have a very flowery, flavorful honey.
Wow. That's amazing. I thought you were going to say, first you have to train your bees to go just to the...
No, they go there anyway.
Okay. That is so cool. Wow.
And dandelion is one of those things everybody throws to the chickens or into the compost pile.
And yeah, I don't know how they got such a bad rap. Poor dandelion. All I remember about dandelion is that little poem we used to say when we were kids. Mama had a baby and her head popped off. And then you like flick the head off the dandelion.
We didn't do that one. We did plantain.
Sorry, I should have put a trigger warning on. That was it's an odd thing to say. It's just after Mother's Day too. I'm so sorry. Mom's everywhere. I don't know why I said that. We used to say it. I don't know.
I would say that most of us got a good laugh out of it.
Okay, good. It was just a dandelion joke.
Our next one is purple dead nettles. Ooh. Most people don't even know what purple dead nettles is.
Yeah, tell me more.
It grows in your garden. It's hard to do. It doesn't look like a nettle.
Okay.
It only grows about maybe 6 to 8 inches tall at the foot if it's really, really healthy. And it has little leaves that go all the way around the stem, from the base of the stem all the way to the top. And at the top, they turn from light purple to dark purple. And there's a little flower at the tip.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. I'm looking it up while we talk. Go ahead and tell us more about it.
So purple dead nettles is a very good anti-inflammatory and antibacterial. It's excellent for using on wounds, bug bites, and stings. It helps to stop the itch and the pain, and it helps to draw out the toxin from bee stings and spider bites.
What?
Like a lot of things, it's a diuretic. It helps dissolve kidney stones.
Whoa, that's huge. That's huge.
It's an excellent, this one's huge. Okay. It's an excellent allergy relief. It has antihistamine properties, and it is good for seasonal allergies.
Awesome. Oh my gosh, I never knew. I definitely pull this out. It's kind of like it has alternating green leaves that are kind of like scales going up its base.
Yes.
And
yes.
Then at the top, the purple flowers kind of, they're tiny and they open kind of like a orchid maybe?
Kind of. And then the leaves themselves turn purple at top.
Yeah. Oh, it's actually a very beautiful plant. Of course it has medicinal uses. Of course.
It's rich in vitamin C, iron, and fiber. And when drank as a tea, is an energy booster.
Whoa.
It's probably from the iron.
Interesting. So when you're saying that it contains iron and all these things, besides a tea, can you stir fry this too? Is that something you can just eat?
I wouldn't try it. It's a pretty tough leaf and a pretty tough stem, and they're small leaves.
Yeah, it's small.
I didn't find any information on eating it. Generally, is using it as a tea, but it doesn't mean you can't, because nettles is quite often eaten. Regular nettles.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I apologize. I did not research this ahead of time, but one of the tags when I looked up what the image was is called "Foraging for Purple Dead Nettle, an Edible Backyard Weed." So,
yeah.
Technically,
probably when it's young,
not poisonous.
No.
And it doesn't probably have the stingers the way stinging nettle does.
It does not.
I have to admit, when I hear the word nettle, I immediately am like, ooh, it's going to poke me. But that's just stinging nettle. Not all nettles do that, right?
No, they do not. Okay. And this one does not have stingers to sting you.
Cool.
It doesn't have little prickles.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, look it up on your computer, purple dead nettle, and you'll go, oh, I definitely have that in my yard.
I would have definitely pulled that out and thrown it away.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
Most people say.
Yeah, totally, totally. I definitely have. I probably have less of it now than when I moved in, because I've been pulling it for years.
Yeah.
Darn it.
One of my absolute favorite weeds in the garden is purslane.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I love purslane. It's cooling, it's lemony, it's juicy, it's like eating a little succulent.
That's exactly right. And I heard that you pick it in the morning, not in the afternoon. Not sure why.
Well, it's a little crispier in the morning. In the afternoon, it can be kind of limpish.
Okay.
It's just not as good. But it's a fantastic source of omega-3 fatty acids.
Cool.
Which are very good for you. Has the highest level for pretty much any plant other than flaxseed. It has vitamin A, C, and E, potassium, magnesium, and calcium.
Who knew?
It has antioxidants that protect your cells from damage. It supports digestive health, and it soothes heartburn, ulcers, anything to do with your digestive tract. It also soothes the bladder.
That's amazing.
It contributes to skin health and it helps with skin repair, eating it and putting it on your skin like you would use aloe.
Oh, really? So like you just kind of squeeze out the juices and wipe it on your face?
You just crush it up. Yeah.
Okay. I've never done that.
I would mix it with plantain. That's the next herb on the list. The seeds help improve blood sugar levels and lower blood pressure. And the seeds are very high in antioxidants, in omega-3s, and in proteins.
They're also incredibly tiny.
They are.
Like, good luck harvesting that. You're just going to have to eat the whole plant with the seeds in it.
It's actually not bad. You snip off the tips, or you pick the whole plant, whichever you want.
Okay.
Lay it out on a sheet. Let it stay on the sheet for about an hour, and the seeds will fall out onto the sheet.
And that won't be till like the fall.
Yeah, it's later in the summer or in the fall when you pick it, after the little yellow flowers have made little round seed heads.
Okay.
But I've collected, I think I did 2 quarts one year.
Wow.
Of the seeds. And they're great, sprinkled on cereals and put in your breads and things like that.
That's amazing. Here's my question for you on purslane. It owns my garden. Like every year, it's not there right now, but within a month, it will be the most prevalent thing in my garden. Do you think it's stealing the water, nutrients, and all the goods from my plants I'm trying to grow? Or do you think it's like holding in the water for everybody else and keeping the sun from drying it out? I'm always torn about pulling out weeds.
Okay, well, it is taking nutrients.
Yeah.
But not from deep growers like tomatoes, peppers, things like that, corn, beans. Their roots go a lot deeper than purslane. Purslane is a surface grower.
Okay.
It covers the soil and it helps to hold the moisture in on the soil. It also helps to keep other weeds out that grow deep and do take more water and more nutrients.
So you think I should leave it?
I don't leave it in my entire garden, but I leave it in certain areas.
Okay.
And a lot of what I, because I eat a lot of it.
Okay.
A lot of it gets torn out and I eat it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It goes into all my salads.
Yeah, totally. I still have a jar from last year of pickled purslane. I thought I was doing it. I was really proud of this, but I think maybe I picked two. I thought big stems, you know, would be the good ones, but they're really hard and nobody likes it. And I'm kind of bummed. It was a lot of work.
They've got to be a little smaller. I mean, if you don't want to chew on that stem when you fresh picked it, then you don't want to pickle it.
Okay. That's what I screwed up with. Because you can't pickle the leaves, just the stems.
Yeah, the leaves will just go to mush.
Yeah. But I've found recipes for pickling the stems, but I guess you don't want to use the pencil thick ones.
No.
Okay. Lesson learned.
Yeah. Okay. Our next one is chickweed.
Chickweed's adorable. I love chickweed. It has that little white star flower. It's adorable. Yes. I never pull that out because I love it.
It's another surface grower, kind of crawls across the ground, you know, doesn't really, it'll take stuff. It'll take nutrients from garlic and onions and they don't like it, but anything that's a deep grower, they don't mind it.
So would you say that same thing about purslane, pull the purslane in my onions?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Anything that's a surface grower, like onions or garlic, I wouldn't leave any weeds in. They don't like competition.
Okay, good to know.
So chickweed, it soothes and heals the skin of rashes, eczema, insect bites when used topically. Again, you crush it up or you make it into a salve. It tightens and clears acne.
Whoa.
When put into like a witch hazel and then applied to the skin.
So maybe just like soak the chickweed in the witch hazel.
I would crush it.
Oh, crush it right
and then soak it in, then strain it and then use it.
Okay.
But you can also just, if you put it straight on your skin, it's going to turn your skin green. Slightly. For a while.
Which is kind of cool. Maybe you want that.
So it's cooling and has a cooling, drying effect to the skin. So it's great for poison oak, hives, chicken pox, anything on your skin that is weeping.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. It soothes an inflamed digestive tract and promotes regular bowel movements.
Hey, and don't we all need that? That's wonderful.
Yeah, it makes us sick not to have that.
Yep.
It messes up the whole body. It's a diuretic, nourishes your kidneys if you have kidney problems, and your bladder if you have bladder problems.
Wow.
So, our last one on the list is plantain, another one of my favorites, Plantago majoris. That's the one that we used to use, wrap up the little seed head and pop it off and shoot them each other on the school lawn.
That's really funny. You had a different plant you did that with. I love that.
Yeah. It's excellent for irritation and inflammation of the stomach and the bowels, for gastritis, ulcers, colitis, IBS, and stomach and bowel infections. It will help to heal ulcers.
Like as a T or how?
Heal. Oh. As a T, yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It promotes the production of cells to heal your skin and your mucous membranes.
Wow.
So I put it in a lot of my salves for, you know, the itchy ouchy one because it helps to heal and soothe the skin. It reduces spasms and colic, and it can help expel intestinal parasites, in particular, if you want to put it in an animal's
Whoa.
Mixture.
Interesting. And for an animal, like let's say you wanted to do that, you would just chop it real fine and put it in the dog's wet food, have them
I'd make it. What I do for my dogs is I make a tea.
Okay.
I make a tea out of a variety of different herbs, and then I pour that tea on their food every morning for 2 weeks.
Thank you.
I keep jars of it in the freezer so that I can just pull a jar out, use it, and I don't have to continually make it.
Awesome.
I cheat. I do, you know, it's...
I don't think that's cheating. I think it works
smarter.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Smarter, not harder.
So the plantain leaf tea is used for coughs, sore throats, bronchitis, and laryngitis because it heals and soothes all the mucous membranes in your throat.
Wow.
It promotes and heals promotes healing and regeneration of skin, tissues, and mucous membranes. I already said that, but I'm going over it again. It's excellent in salves or as a suppository for hemorrhoids.
Oh, well, there you go.
Because it reduces swelling and it stimulates healing.
So without getting too in the weeds on this, ba-dum-ching. Would you make a tea out of it for that purpose as well? How would you use it that way?
You could use it as an enema.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Do you as a tea or like the plant?
That's a tea.
Okay.
A tea.
I'm like, my imagination is going crazy over here.
We will not go down Ginger's imagination.
Yeah, you're still with us, right, folks? Okay, awesome. And plantain is the plant that I remember my mom would say, you can chew it up and just spit it on your wound. Just spit on yourself and it's fine. She loved to do that.
Well, what I do is if I get a bee sting, I smash it up and then I put it right directly on the bee sting because it neutralizes the venom from the bee and it helps to draw it out.
Awesome.
And it soothes it. If you mix something like purslane with it or chickweed, it would be even better.
Oh, there you are. That's cool.
And they're all right there in the garden when you get stung. I got stung 13 times last summer.
Oh, man. Jeez Louise.
We had so many bees last summer.
Well, I know before we started this on the radio, we were talking about how such a beautiful flower year we're having this year. There's a ton of flowers right now.
There is. We have a lot of flowers this year as well.
Yeah, so happy bee season for sure.
Well, there are a lot of other weeds in the garden. And if you're curious about a weed as you're pulling it and throwing it away, look it up. See if it's useful for something.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple books out there just about edible weeds, too. And it's on my wish list to get a book that's just about weeds in your garden. Plantain doesn't grow in my garden, per se, but it loves to grow like right at the edge of the sidewalks and things like that. Like it likes that like gravelly soil that isn't really good for much else, it seems like. So that's kind of cool.
Mine doesn't grow too much in the garden because it doesn't like being rototilled.
Yeah.
But it, like you said, it grows all on the edges.
Yeah. Well, you gave us a great list there. That was like 4 or 5. So we had dandelion, chickweed.
Purslane,
the purple nettle.
And plantain.
And plantain. Wow. Thank you, Maria. That's awesome.
You're welcome.
5 things that we didn't know we needed in our lives and we thought we should toss and we shouldn't be doing that.
Well, think back to the pioneers and what they ate.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder how many of those plants are native and how many were brought with the settlers as they moved west. That's a curiosity I have.
Plantain is introduced. I'm not sure about purslane. Dandelion is introduced.
Is
I'm
it?
Not sure about chickweed. And I'm not sure. I know that plantain and dandelion are introduced.
Interesting. Yeah, and those darn brooms that we can't use edibly at all, but they sure are flowering this time of year.
Oh, the Scotch broom?
Yeah.
There are certain parts of the Scotch broom that are usable as medicinally,
What?
but I need to do my research before I discussed it.
Well, maybe we'll talk about that another time. I always thought we should be making brooms. Look how many Scotch broom there is on this hillside. Let's make some brooms together.
I will say that the seeds are toxic.
Oh, well, that's good to know ahead of time.
Yeah.
They do have pretty flowers. Sometimes they have
They
the
do.
like little red in the yellow centers, and anyway, those things have deep roots. That'll be another topic, I guess, another day.
Yeah.
Always more to learn. I'm so grateful for your time and knowledge. It's just such an honor to have you come on with me. Thank you, Maria.
You are welcome.
This has been a K-Mud podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.